Good afternoon and welcome to a second podcast with Villanova parents Quentin Masson, Brendan Cox and Manny Lynch. This week the discussion moves to well-being and mental health. We all know that these issues have been quite prominent and we want to touch upon what happens when things aren't going well for the Villa man, what strategies can we take and how can we open up a good conversation. I hope you enjoy this podcast. I don't want to waste the opportunity if you've all had significant experience with, I guess, mental health and well-being, and this seems to be increasingly important in schools. And I would be very interested in your, you know, reflection on why this has become so prevalent in our society, and is there anything that we can do, you know, in partnership? You are the primary educators, we're the secondary educators. What are we looking at to create people who have good mental health? I think I should ask you first, Brendan, if that's okay.
Yeah, certainly. I think the first part is mental health, like physical health, we all have. It's just a health environment. So don't stigmatize, I have a mental health condition, we all do. We're either positive or along a spectrum that can lead to negative. So as long as you understand that mental health is like physical health, and when you feel sick, you go to a doctor. When you feel depressed or anxious, well, you should also talk to either loved ones or family as a first port of call, or seek help from a specialist. There is nothing wrong with it. It is actually a show of strength. But also I believe in developing strong routines that you believe in. I do love getting up first thing in the morning and achieving. Very similar to what Manny and Quentin were saying. And my first achievement is one, getting out of bed, but two, just getting on the track and going for a bit of a run. Sometimes I wake up at night worrying about things. And I have now the tool to say, check the thought, think about it on the run, sleep well now. So it gives me that relaxation. But you've also got to believe. So just start with a very positive routine. Personally, I do believe in starting a day with an achievement. There's a great presentation on YouTube of the Naval SEAL commander, you know, talking about get up and make your bed. Regardless of what the day does to you, at least you're going to return to a made bed. It's a sense of achievement. It is so true. You do the simple things well, you'll excel at the challenges. Just develop a really positive routine. And if someone reaches out or if someone's behaviours changes, be strong enough to lean forward and ask, you know, how are you feeling? Are you okay? And support your mates. It doesn't change. Whether you're on the footy field, whether you're in the college, supporting your mates is a lifelong journey.
Thank you, Brendan. That's great. Quentin, passing to you, and I think your experience of the Wandering Warriors might be relevant here.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I'd echo some of those comments that Brendan has outlined. I really think that we need to de-stigmatise mental health. And equally, everybody is going to go through traumatic or challenging circumstances that are going to have a personal effect on you individually. Stress, different times of your life. And I think framing that particular event or that particular activity is really important. So some of the education and the theory behind that, it breaks down into three prime sort of breakpoints. The first one is prevention. And that really is centered around making sure you're in the best physical and mental state prior to a traumatic incident, because you never know when that's going to happen. And that's really centered around some key things that Brendan also touched on: sleep, nutrition, exercise. And then there's the actual maintenance of that. And that will tend to flux and go up and down as you go through your the actual traumatic event itself. And then the recovery. And through certain events, you know, we forget that third phase, the recovery phase, because just like an operation, when you go into have a knee reconstruction or some significant operation, there's, you know, a long recovery process, and it's a dedicated rehab process. And just like that same analogy, a mental traumatic experience, you need to actually put aside that third phase and really focus on it and have a deliberate recovery program. Some of the other things that I've found useful over my time in dealing with it personally, but also supporting people through the charity, but also collectively, you know, my peer groups and my friends, and not just in the military, but more generally, is goal setting and visualization and self-talk. Those three things, I think, are really valuable. And when you're younger, and I reflect, you know, back when I was younger, you try not to do things that make you stand out. You're trying to do things that you don't think are normal because you're worried about what the peer pressure, the peer reflection, and what your mates will think. But visualization, and Manny, he would really understand this. This is, you know, we're now venturing into elite sports, you know, psychology and the like, but visualization, goal setting, and really doing that self-talk, really, you know, priming yourself and reframing a negative into a positive. You know, some of those activities can be really beneficial and can help turn a situation in your mind into something, you know, positive and find the silver lining. So, summary, three broad areas: prevention, which is really sleep, nutrition, exercise, maintenance, making sure that when you're going through that process, you've got those tools, your peer network supporting you, and don't forget about the third phase of recovery. And some tools that you can use the whole way through: goal setting, visualization, and self-talk.
Thank you, Quentin. Really, you know, I appreciate the detail. I'm actually taking notes as I listen here. Manny, would you like to add anything to those?
They're just so true and so relevant. For me, storytelling, what I could add to that is, like, there's nothing, someone has their knee or has their arm or has a physical injury, everyone says, oh, how did that happen? Different with mental illness, they're sort of, well, I better not ask how that happens. So the storytelling and having the courage to tell your story is really important. And exactly what the guys have said is that at no stage have they said, change your environment to enable yourself to be well. You have to do you. So it's like they say when you get on the plane, John, is fit your own mask before helping others. There's a reason for that. You are no good to anyone unless you're right. So being able to get yourself right internally, irrespective of your environment, and then that'll permeate out to help others. And I think that for mental health to be normalised, it takes people to have the courage to share their story. My vision of the corporate world or the heavy industry or whatever it is that people can get up the front. They can talk about the rehab they've had with their ACL or their arm or their foot reconstruction or shoulder, equally as they can talk about some challenges they've had mentally. Wouldn't that be an amazing day? And I think we're a long way down the track. So I think even the challenges that are happening out there are situational and they're individual. So one size doesn't fit all. But what you can do is share your story and people can pull threads out of that. And it helps them understand that, you know what, I'm not an alien. There's nothing that what I'm going through is relatively normal. But if I address it, it is absolutely repairable. And we can come out even stronger because you have that awareness of your own mental capacity, which is what an amazing tool to have, to understand your own mental thresholds and coping mechanisms when times are tough. So for me, so, so important. Exactly what Brendan said. It's not necessarily promoted, but it's normalized. It's just what it is. It's health. And let's get it all, the whole package right. Well-being, okay, across the whole thing. So, you know, thanks for asking the question, John, because it's so vital and so situational.
Look, gentlemen, I really have enjoyed listening, and I know we've probably got enough material to have another conversation. I look forward to that face-to-face, but it's time to give you all a final word, and I thought that might be best if it's just sort of directed particularly to the community in that year 12 cohort, if you wanted to get one message through to them for this rest of this year, what would that be? Quentin?
Thanks, John. Look, I'll tell a story and then I'll give the message that I'd challenge the year 12 cohort. If I look back at some of my operations, the one that springs to mind, which was a team and a cohort of people that really worked to pull something off, was when, as part of the SAS, we did an advanced deployment and were part of the invasion of Iraq in 2003. And we were situated in a third country, a neighbouring country, doing preparation. And I was lucky enough to be in the position to lead a group of men across the border and do some amazing operations. And if I look at the traits and the cohort of men that stood beside me, and even though I was their boss, I really felt humbled to be amongst those people. And the traits that those people had and the operators that accompanied me across that operation, one of their true friends that I call dear and near to my heart now, and as part of a cohort and peer group that we've remained very close over the years. And that's what happens when you go through some very challenging and complex environments. And that sort of draws out the peer group support. I look back at it and I ask myself, what is it that set us apart? And what is it that actually allowed us to achieve some amazing accomplishments and bring everyone home on that deployment, which is actually the biggest and best accomplishment of all, is to bring everyone home. And it was because we all sought that relentless pursuit of excellence. And we all looked to forge a community of like-minded individuals who saw elite as their norm. So my message to the year 12 cohort, as you graduate, and as you graduate as a peer group, and as a Villa man, what is it that you're going to take with you? What is the cohort reflect on? What is it that you want to bring forward into your next career and as you transition into an adult? And what is it from a community that you think is the norm? And I challenge you to focus on the elite. Bring that community of focus to make sure that the year 12 community is really focused on achieving the best you can possibly achieve.
Thank you, Quentin. Manny.
Everything you do, they're investments, not sacrifices. You're investing in what your future lies. And in summary for me, when we talk about legacy, when we talk about sometimes the longer something's been in place, you feel like, how could I influence that? Well, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? Everything you do leaves a clue for those who follow. You've got that opportunity. How exciting. In fact, it's a responsibility. So being able to maximize this, because once it's done, it's done. You get one crack at this and you're heading to the finish line now. Finish strong. Hit the line strong. Be really proud of how you finished. Irrespective of what's happened to this point, you can now lock in for that final 100 yards and hit the line hard and be really proud of how you finished. And that's how you'll be remembered. So, yeah, good luck, guys.
Thanks, Manny. Brendan.
Couple of tough acts to follow, I got to say. But look, I think if the Villa men listening to this don't get a sense that they are part of a brotherhood, you know, what you do now is forming relationships that you will draw upon for the rest of your life. So the temptation, of course, in year 12, it's a challenging year personally. The temptation is to really focus in on self. I would ask you to keep the collective view, as you always have at Villa. Look after your mates. Look after the guys that aren't probably responding the way they did. Now, ask if they're okay. What can you do to support them? Because this brotherhood of Villa, it's how you take it forward into the community is your challenge. You're now putting the icing on the cake of it for the last few months for you, the year 12 cohort. And the year 12 cohort have been dealt some significant morale blows. You know, you're not playing their rugby, you're uncertain about their cricket or so on and so forth. It's looking at where are the opportunities for us to express our brotherhood relationship for the final few months. What's done is done. What's gone is gone. The environment has changed. Okay, how are you going to adapt to it? So take forward that sense of brotherhood. Take forward, you know, what Manny and Quentin have talked about, how they've looked at challenges. And together, you're going to be a stronger cohort if you respond in a positive manner.
So, look, well, Brendan Cox, Manny Lynch and Quentin Masson, I really thank you for the time this evening and the energy you've put into articulating messages about growing into a fine young man. And certainly, you know, we'll really appreciate those. So thank you.